Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Drew. The Flyers make me sad. With me, as always, we have my co-host, Devin.
Yeah.
And Kush.
Two things. I really like the way you said welcome. It was real gritty.
Right? Oh.
Yeah. And second, Flyers just got dunked on by Cam Atkinson.
Yeah, so we're recording this during the Flyers Blue Jackets game. It is currently 3-2 Blue Jackets.
I would like to add that I have Cam Atkinson and Bobrovsky on my fantasy team. So,
ooh, how's the Bobrovsky stuff working for you?
Not good.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that quite yet. but yeah, guys, hockey started.
Woo!
Excited. Yeah, and then immediately I'm sad because Flyers.
Yeah. Not immediately.
I feel like they.
No, you're right. Not immediately.
I feel like they get off to a bad start every year.
Every single year.
Give or take. Last year they got off to like a surprisingly decent start and then lost 10 games in a row.
So. Well, I seem to remember somebody in this podcast saying two things: one, the Flyers were going to be fun, and two, that the Flyers were going to go like 9-2-1 in October.
So, I don't know who you're talking about.
What the fuck?
Why would you say that? All
right, did I say that? Was I high?
No, it was Devin. It was Devin, 100% Devin.
Well, in my defense, two things. One, Nolan Patrick, and two, JVR, all within like 10 minutes of the season starting. So that's two-thirds of your second line. And Provorov has been kind of getting off to a slow start. But we're six games in, so don't come at me with the fun yet.
If
October
you guys
isn't over yet, so they can run the table, and I can still be kind of right. So
true. Now, if anybody had seen me and Kush went to the home opener, the video that we posted to our Twitter, it wasn't fun. Dev, it was not fun. Look at that. Look at Kush's face. It was fun.
I was the one who took the screenshot of his face.
It's true. His face is fantastic.
It was beautiful.
All right. So yeah, here's how we're gonna do things. We're gonna break down some games and the games that happened. And today we're gonna do a little something different after all that. We're gonna have a debate. I peeked the fuck out of my mic right there.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a debate.
Didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, we're gonna have a debate.
I thought you said we're gonna have a bake sale.
I thought you said too. And we're having a bake sale.
I was like, I am baking cookies right now.
Chef Devin coming back in and baking some cookies. Hey guys, quick shout out. Andrew McDonald had a daughter today. So congratulations to Andrew McDonald.
Oh, congrats.
That's cool.
I hope she's better at hockey than he is.
Yeah. All right. So Flyers open up this year on the road in, as they do well every year. But in Vegas this year. And hey, guess what, boys? We won 5-2. We did it. We started out 1-0. Strong start to the season. Good overall game. Lindblom, Simmons scored twice. Hag and Lawton scored. Marchesso and Belmar scored for Vegas. LA had 23 saves on 25 shots. I think it was our best total team game so far this season.
You know, I'm going to say yeah, because let's see. Only two goals against. What is that, the lowest so far? No. The one.
The one. The other one against Vegas.
Right.
Close, I wonder if Vegas just isn't that good.
Huh, it's almost like we've said this.
It's almost like I didn't say it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm going to speak out of two sides of my mouth by saying, you know, the 3-3 start isn't such a terrible thing because they play the Western Conference champions twice, but at the same time say they're not that good. But, yeah, I just think that Vegas is coming back down to earth. So that explains.
Yeah, having a couple guys get off to weird starts. William Karlsson. I mean, he did have a really high shooting percentage last season, so clearly that was going to come down. But
he scored over 40 goals last year. He did really good.
I know.
He's the man.
I think he had like a 22% shooting percentage, which is like 10% above the league average.
And he's got hell of a flow too.
He does have good. He's a good looking dude.
Good head of lettuce on that guy. Hey, speaking of a good-looking dude, Tom Wilson's had his appeal hearing today for suspension or something.
I hope they give him more
or
games.
It's scheduled. That would be amazing.
That's a possibility.
But, you know, I got to thinking when we were talking about the Western Conference for a second, we did get an email from last podcast Our lovely listener, Timmy, he emailed in, and he said, question for the dude that sounds like a drug name. How high are you that you thought the Blues were in the Pacific?
Isn't everybody in the Pacific Division?
Oh, boy.
Well, Pacific Division matchup right now, Flyers and Blue Jackets.
Okay, well, don't.
No, you're thinking of the Atlantic Division.
Right, gotcha.
No, the Metropolitan
Division. That's not even wrong. The Flyers used to be in the Atlantic Division.
But everybody knows that Columbus is such a metropolitan city.
Is it? I wouldn't know that.
Oh, right. Nobody knows that because nobody likes Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing, right, that you hate Ohio?
I hate Ohio, man. Nobody cares about Ohio, honestly. They're fucking terrible. So,
Isn't Drew Carey from Ohio?
He's probably the best thing to come out of Ohio.
I don't know. I don't think that's
maybe
true.
LeBron James, but he even left.
I just made that up.
Anyways.
Let's see. Right.
Well, we go to game two.
Did they just go to a run again?
We go to game two.
Yeah, they did.
Guys.
Sorry.
We go to game two, and it's a 5-2 loss in Colorado. Kateriyan Vorobiev scored for Philadelphia. For Colorado, Colin Wilson scored twice. Comfer, Gabriel Landeskog, and Nathan MacKinnon. Elliott had 30 saves on 34 shots. Interesting note to this, after the game one win, we sat Gudas for Christian Folan, and JVR gets injured in this game against Colorado.
Yeah, that was a frustrating game. I remember it not being fun. The Flyers kind of...
No.
Yeah, they were... did they tie it in the second or something? Or they were close?
They, let's see, where's the box score? They did, I think they scored, they tied it in the second, and then Landeskog scored in the second to take the
lead. Oh, right, it was that weird deflection, and it was like, when it was scored, all the people I was watching it was with was like, oh, that's a high stick, that's got to be. And I watched the replay, and I'm like, oh, God, that's not a high stick. And then, chaos ensued.
Yeah, chaos, indeed.
Drew Carey is from Ohio, by the way.
Did you really guess on that and get it right?
I think I just knew it.
Yeah.
For some reason.
What else do you know about Drew Carey?
I don't know. I think the Drew Carey show must have taken place in Ohio, and that's how I knew it. I don't know.
I like his name.
I didn't watch this game because my brother got married, so shout out to my bro.
Cool.
Congratulations on being married.
My alarm just went off, so I missed like a little bit of that, and that scared me.
Congrats, other Div.
Yeah. Anyways, I like Drew Carey's name.
Yeah. Drew's kind of a shitty name.
Hey. Anyways, back to that second game.
Go ahead.
JVR got hurt in that game against Colorado.
Yeah.
This injury is a mystery to me. So
we had him, four or five periods?
He blocked a shot and essentially just hurt himself.
What's JVR doing blocking a shot?
When your defense is hot garbage, somebody's got to make up for it somewhere.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Drew. You mentioned in this game that Gudas was scratched.
Yes.
Arguably, he's been the Flyers' best defenseman so far.
He has. He's got.
I don't even think it's arguably, considering that I just don't know. Like, when do we start worrying about Provorov? Like, I know it's only 6 games into the year.
15 games.
15 games? Okay.
Yeah, right. That's a good benchmark.
I know it's, like, super early. I don't want to, like, start, like, getting nervous.
Well, here's the thing, though, about Provorov being bad. It's his bad isn't really, like, Andrew McDonald bad. It's still, like, he's still decent.
True. He's at least...
And I think the overall, like, defense is getting a lot of the blame for being garbage, but it's not really how it works in hockey. Defense is a 5-man unit, so it's not just like the defenders that are bad. It's the whole team is bad at defense right now. Yeah. So,
and I mean, at least Provorov's making his mistakes when he's standing up, unlike Andrew McDonald, who's always on the ground.
Well, I read an article today.
You mean you don't like seeing $4.5 million laying on the ice?
No.
I would pick it up.
$5 million, isn't it?
It's $5 million.
It's five.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's a $5 million cap hit. I know that. Dude, how do you not know this?
No.
He's trying to refuse
to believe it.
He's looking it up right now. He doesn't realize that we're both right, and it's $5 million.
roster. Yeah, it's a hefty chunk of change.
God, no! It's $5 million sitting on the ice.
Granted, we still have a crap ton of cap space, thanks to Hextall. Two more years of it. If they want to – they've been burying him, on the third line at this point?
You mean on the fucking bench?
Well, now he's not on the bench.
In the press box. But before we get too far away, I read an article today by Charlie O'Connor of The Athletic. And if I remember correctly, Provorov's Corsi 4 is in, the 40s, which is bad. Really bad. But Andrew McDonald's was, 38, which is, really, really he's been bad.
It was weird because last year when they started playing him in a more fitting role for him, he actually didn't look as bad as he normally does.
McDonald, correct?
Yeah, we're talking about McDonald. Yeah. And he, they had him on the second and third line last year, and this year they started him on the third line, which I was like, all right, this could actually work. But he's been back to his old self against worse lines, and I think they were saying they brought him back early from injury, and you have to think, why would they even consider
do that?
Yeah, why not let him heal, and then, we at least get a half-functioning third-pair defenseman.
I don't really get it. There's a huge organizational blind spot with Andrew McDonald. I get that he's a great guy. He's a good locker room guy. You don't have to play him.
Do you think that's why they let him come back early? Because
they think he deserves it.
Because he wanted to play, and he's like, yeah, well, I know I'm hurt, but I'm gonna take one for the team and play.
Injured. They don't view him the way we do. They think he's a legitimate defenseman, a legitimate top four guy. Because that's how they've used him the entirety of his contract with the Flyers.
That's how he's paid, too.
Yeah. Well, I understand, making the mistake with the contract, but, just because you paid the guy doesn't mean you have to play him. You can.
Well, I think they are starting to now realize that he. He shouldn't be a top. I think they do realize now he's a bottom four.
Did you
defenseman.
See the quote from the preseason from Dave Haxtell, where it was like?
Well, I know Dave Haxtell basically. Andrew McDonald.
He basically said that Andrew McDonald's a calming presence on the ice.
He did say calming.
I mean, I don't.
The words calming presence. Does not come to mind when a $5 million contract is laying on the ice four times.
I don't think they'll ever actually come out and say, AMAC's a bottom six dude, but I think that's kind of how they're a bottom four dude.
Maybe he was misquoted. And maybe he meant he's a calming presence for the opposing forwards. Because he's nowhere to be found.
But I don't think they view him as a top pair defenseman anymore. I think they view him as a middle pair, bottom pair. I think he's, we all think he's exclusively bottom pair, but I think the organization is slowly catching up, and they just still have this misplaced respect for his quote-unquote calming veteran presence, but maybe they're finally starting to realize that his skill on the ice isn't as good as they had thought.
I think they're still learning. If you can't see me, I'm rolling my eyes a lot. But they're still learning that just because a guy blocks a lot of shots doesn't mean he's a good defenseman. In fact, that can mean the opposite.
Yeah, you're getting shot on a lot.
So the thing about block shots, I quickly want to touch on because I'm looking at the stats from the games that we've talked about so far. Mm-hmm. In the first game, the Flyers blocked 12 shots against Vegas. In the Avalanche game, they blocked 23 shots.
Were they shorthanded a lot?
They were shorthanded four times.
Yeah, that's why. You block shots when you're playing defense and getting
Ghost
shot on.
Ghost had four. All the other defensemen had three except for Sandheim. He had one.
Yeah, block shots are weird because, they're...
James Van Riems, blocked one too many. He blocked two, but he blocked one too many.
Yeah.
My thing with block shots is that, it's good. Obviously, you want to get in front of the puck. You're going to get shot on. No matter what, but if you're you're near the top of blocked shots, that just means your goalie's getting shot on a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's weird because in a vacuum, being able to block a shot is a good thing. You blocked a shot, but when you're doing it a lot, it could mean that you're not playing defense well. Like, if you have a lot of block shots, it could also just mean that you play a lot, too. It's like, another weird stat is giveaways. Like, if you look at the leaders in giveaways, it's always, like, the best players in the NHL because they're playing the most. So, therefore, they have more opportunities to give it away.
I bet like, Voracek. Andrew
McDonald doesn't have a lot, but, yeah.
I love Voracek, but I bet he's on that list.
Like, I'll look it up right now. Well, give me a second.
He skates into a lot of people.
He does. I mean, granted, he makes a lot of plays. Like, he's trying to make a play. And he always ends up with, like, 80-some points a season, so... But
yeah,
he is one of those players that when he can visibly frustrate you at times.
Yeah, I agree. He frustrates me a lot, honestly. He's just I love the guy, but Jesus fucking Christ,
I definitely think he's underrated in Philadelphia.
He either doesn't shoot enough or shoots too much. It's weird.
Well, he always did. I forget if I saw this on Twitter or something, but they said, like, he has like, the most shots or something of the Flyers in the past, like, couple of years.
Yeah, and I was like, I just don't.
And it's just, I didn't buy it because I was like, there's no way.
Every time he has the puck, he passes it. I don't understand. But quickly, while Dev's looking up some Jake Voracek sets, let's bring him on to game three. Opener.
Wait. Okay, I'm going to give you number one. Since the beginning of last year, including so far this year, the leader in giveaways is Keith Yandle. Do you want to guess who number two is?
Ooh. Alexander Ovechkin.
It's a defenseman. Defenseman.
Do we get
Erik Karlsson?
Wait.
It's Erik Karlsson.
Not Karlsson. What? Or Kush.
I was going to say, do we get a division?
You don't know divisions.
It's the Pacific Division.
Oh, God, that could mean the entire Western Conference.
Okay, so John Karlsson.
It's a teammate of Erik Karlsson.
It's Brent Burns.
That's actually not surprising.
Other guys in the top 10, Johnny Gaudreau is 5. P.K. Subban is 8. Ivan Provorov was 11. Erik Karlsson was 16.
Yeah, it's guys that play a lot that make
plays. There's no really bad players on this list.
Also, and you notice it's defensemen because they get the puck for 2 seconds and then there are forecheckers coming in to take the puck.
Exactly, yeah.
Like stats like that can be very misleading. Like, it's not – obviously, I wouldn't say it's good to be on that list, but it's also – in my opinion, it shows that you're also willing to try and make plays more.
Yeah. True. Also, the opposite of a giveaway
is a takeaway.
Right. Who leads the league in takeaways since
Patrice
the start?
Patrice Bergeron. No. Brad Marchand, his teammate.
No.
Is it
not even the top 10?
Wow. It's.
Is it a?
I feel like it's going to be like a third liner or something.
It's Jori Lehterä.
No, you guys are thinking way too much about this. It's Connor McDavid.
Oh.
There's Jeff Skinner.
Are you sure?
Actually, that makes sense because you can just think of the speed on him.
Jori Lehterä, he's like,
probably.
Control F. He doesn't even come up. He's on another page.
Okay,
number 582.
Right. We should move forward here, please.
Yeah. Okay,
so game three, the home opener. It made me want to cry.
Are you sure we didn't dream that?
Do you want to hear my theory about the home opener? Just to Drew's eyes bleed.
We lost 8-2, but go ahead.
It's all Brian Elliott's fault.
And all I'll right, tell you why. So, we'll do that later. Okay. We will do that later.
All right.
For those of you,
can't wait for this.
We're doing a debate later, and it's about Brian Elliott, and it's me and Dev going at it toe to toe, head to head. Anyways, the Philadelphia goal scorers are Shane Gostisbehere and Wayne Simmonds. San Jose, well, you got Couture, Pavelski twice, Kane twice, Hurdle, Timo Meier, and Goodrow. Elliott made 40 saves on 48 shots. Gudas was back in. JVR, with the JVR injury, Jordan Weal joined the lineup. And, quite frankly, we were embarrassed on home ice.
That game was not even, like, entertaining for a little bit. They opened up and just got dunked.
It was 4-0 at the end of the first.
Yeah, and it was 2-0 within the first 5 minutes, and just then you felt like the game was over. Like, it's not like they can't come back from 2-0, but it just took over that this – I'm sitting there. That's why I made that face. The game just fell over at that point.
The The Sharks scored their second goal 3 minutes and 28 seconds into the first. They were 11 seconds apart, the Couture and Pavelski goals.
Yeah, so it was like even, what did you say, 3 minutes and 11 seconds?
3 minutes and 28 seconds.
28 seconds. Okay, so yeah, at 3.5 minutes in, the game felt like it was over.
Yeah.
It came out.
It's crazy because the 3 minutes and 16 seconds before that first goal, the Flyers were playing pretty good. They were getting chances, and they got scored on, and they got scored on again, and the game was over.
Yeah, because after those two goals, you literally felt the ice shift, and then the Sharks took over for the rest of the game. They had 22 or 23 shots by the end of the first?
They had a lot. They were just peppering everything towards our net.
And I think
Flyers only blocked 8 shots.
I think that might have been really the turning point. Like, I didn't think the defense looked great against Colorado, but since the Sharks game, and I didn't even think they looked good against the Senators. The Golden Knights game, actually, everybody played okay. It was just that weird minute and 30-second goal left. And then they were right back on their bullshit on, you know, against the Panthers, and it feels like they're back it tonight.
We will get to all those games except for the one tonight. That's next podcast. One of the renovations that they did to the Wells Fargo Center, they put bars behind the two upper deck corners, and they got a lot of use in that game.
Oh, there's bars upstairs.
Yeah, behind the two
behind
nets.
207 and whatever the opposite is. They put bars.
So do you have to be in that section to access it?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm sure if like you sit around the general area, although I'm not really too sure.
Well, it's like three sections that you can get up.
There were some people, like some of the people that we went with, because we sat really close to the top. They just, for most of the game, they just didn't even sit in their seats because they have like standing
alert,
area.
Alert!
What?
Robert Hägg leads defenseman in hits. It was just mentioned on the
I'm
Flyers
looking
broadcast.
At it now.
Oh,
alert, alert! 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 Alert!
Oh,
okay. Sorry, go back to what
breaking
you were
news here.
This just in.
But yeah, I mean, the one bad renovation was what Kush said. They tilted the ice in the wrong direction. So, you know, what are you gonna do?
So a classic dad joke that my dad does when we go to Flyers games is we typically. Our neighbor gives us tickets. He has really sweet season tickets down low where the Flyers shoot twice.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is every time we go there, the Flyers are never in their zone because they're always getting hemmed in their own zone, so we don't get to see anything. So I think my dad will always do, which always gets like two or three laughs, is he just yells, "Over here!"
Nice. So I always try to sit like up top, and then like usually I try to get more towards the middle because that way I see everything.
Yeah. Right.
But I like it doesn't matter what section you sit in. There's always that one guy who's had like one too many who's just yelling.
Oh my
the
God.
Entire time. That... And there was like three of them in our general.
Well, I'm thinking
vicinity.
About the one dude in the Gossespear jersey. He like legitimately
the one where he took it off.
Yeah, he took it off.
Yeah. He was so pissed, and like they're saying like Dev, you know the fan. Right, they're saying things. It's like, yeah, no shit, you want them to shoot, but how are they going to get it through five guys?
See,
right?
What I like to do is yell "shoot" during stoppages. So, like, play stops. They go "shooter."
But I like when these guys make these comments, like Gossespierre, you suck. Like, no, he doesn't. He just doesn't.
Yeah,
just...
Some people, man.
He said, and I quote, because I was. Dying after he said this, but he was like, "He's like, where's your tricks, ghost? Where's your tricks?"
What is he, a skateboarder?
Yeah.
Do it early.
I think it was like after like I don't know one of the myriad of second or third period goals. Another guy just gets up, just chucks his hat four rows down.
Oh my God, that was amazing! He literally threw his hat.
He like not like a hat trick toss, like like violently chucked it at an empty seat four rows in front of him. He was upset. He wasn't happy. I think he.
Good thing they didn't give away bracelets.
Oh man. They didn't give away anything for the home.
Well, didn't they? That was bullshit. I know. We're jumping. A little farther, but didn't the last home game the Panthers won? Didn't they give when they gave away the bobbleheads and they waited until after
Yes, the Chia Pets. They waited until after.
After the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Good move there. So we move to the next night, Game Four. We go to Ottawa. So a quick, you know, home and away game, back to back. We win 7-4. So a good bounce back. Bad thing to note: Nolan Patrick got hurt that game. But the goal scorers were Voracek twice, Couturier, Lawton twice, Robert Hägg, and Claude Giroux. Picard had to start that game at 31 saves on 35 shots. The goal scorers for Ottawa were Matthew Tkachuk and LaJoie, both scored twice.
Yeah, I thought the...
Wait a minute. It's Brady Tkachuk, not Matthew Tkachuk. Man, it's Brady Tkachuk.
I thought they actually didn't play that well in that
game. Rest in peace, by the way.
I mean, they were playing an Ottawa team that's... not good, and they got scored on four times.
Tkachuk got hurt.
Yeah, he's out like a month or two.
He tore
some ligaments. Oh. It's the NHL, so we don't even know which ligament it is.
You mean it's not a lower body injury?
I love that. They said he tore ligaments. Like, which so one, asshole?
It could be upper, it could be lower, middle.
It was in his knee. Like, they said that as much. But, like, just tell us, is it MCL?
Meniscus? Isn't it Dallas? What is it? Isn't it Dallas that their
meniscus is cartilage, not ligaments?
The Stars head coach. Isn't he just come out and, like, full-blown tell the media what the injury is?
Yeah. Lenny Ruff? Lenny Ruff? That guy?
He's their coach.
He was? Yes.
I always have to redo this.
No, it's Ken Hitchcock. No, it's Lenny Ruff. It was Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah, I know Ken Hitchcock was out.
You want a cup there?
Ken Hitchcock was with the Blues.
Jim Montgomery.
No,
who's Jim Montgomery?
Oh, Jim Montgomery Nissan.
What?
It says, wait, hold on. Yeah, Jim Montgomery announces Dallas Stars head coach May 4th, 2018. Maybe it's the GM that does it. Who's their GM? I always have to do this every year.
All right, yeah, but they released the actual injury, which is like
weird,
insane. I think they also release contract details
when it's announced.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. the NHL is stupid when it comes to injuries. It's not like we couldn't just go back and watch the game and see that JVR broke his foot, like
right. Or that Patrick most likely just separated his shoulder or something like that. He's not
He
didn't get a concussion. He went shoulder first and in his head.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to hit your head to get a concussion.
Your head,
it's
like,
not necessary.
If your head.
No, me and Kush always talk at the same time.
I know.
I was gonna say, if your head like shifts a certain way, like your brain could still smack against the inside of your head.
You know what?
We should ask our concussion expert. No, no doctor. But, you know, you can get punched in the face and not get a concussion. But you can, you know, get hit in the chest and get a concussion. It just depends on how your brain moves within your skull. It's, you know. So he got rocked pretty hard. Like, if you looked at one hit, and he also took a high stick pretty hard to the face. It could be a concussion, but it could also just be a shoulder thing. Who knows?
Yeah. Was that the game that Lindblom also, like, ate the boards? Or was that the next
one? No, that was the next game.
That was the next game.
Yeah.
That was ugly, too. But, so we get the winner in Ottawa. So it's a 2-2. Then Saturday against Vegas. And honestly, as soon as the third period started, I knew exactly what was going to happen. We lost the game 1-0 on a goal scored with 1:25 left in the game by Cody Eakin. Elliott had 20 saves on 21 shots. Dale Weiss was in for the injury to Noel Patrick. And, Fleury stole that game multiple times.
He really did. That was a frustrating
game. Yeah, it was a vintage Marc-Andre Fleury.
He had three fantastic saves that are just the breakaway save on Drew. There was one before that. I mean, the breakaway save on Patrick right before that, too. Or not Patrick, Lawton right before that was really strong. And then the save right at the end of the game, glove save on Drew was.
That was beautiful.
That got me the most, because when Drew was making the move around Fleury, I'm like, that's in. There's no way that's not in. And everybody's looking around real confused, like, where is it? And they show the replay, and just the way he scoops it with his glove, like, gets it down right as it's going, like, I thought was going to go over the line. It's nuts.
Yep.
I mean, just a disappointing loss, and to what could
have. That was a tough one, yeah.
It was, and it felt like we should have won that game. We should have won it probably 4-1.
I think I was more mad.
That's
that...
going to happen. This is it's just going to happen in the NHL season. You're going to outplay a team and lose.
I think I was more mad.
You're going to have a goalie steal it.
That we didn't even get like a loser point out of it. Because it was a minute and a half. I think that was more frustrating. Like I think I could have accepted losing in a shootout because that shit happens all the time. But it was really hard to accept losing with a minute and a half left.
That's now, always the worst. That's the worst kind of loss. Like
I knew we were going to lose in the last minute of a third.
Yeah, you could. It's just one of those feelings.
I knew the goal was going to happen as soon as Couturier turned it over. It's like, oh, there it is. Yeah. Like it's funny how you can like feel it coming. But
Interesting note about that game, because I have it in front of me. The Flyers were 63% on faceoffs. That's just fantastic. That's domination in the NHL.
Didn't help them.
Nope.
I mean, they've always been
That's another weird stat, Drew, because do you know that sometimes teams lose a faceoff on purpose?
Yes. It's called a drawn-up play.
Yeah,
that happens.
The Flyers always been pretty good at faceoffs.
I just felt like saying that. So I feel like they say that all the time.
Yeah.
So I think with the Vegas game, definitely disappointing and frustrating. But I think the most frustrating game of all six was a win against Florida.
That was
because the fucking two, and you have to win the game in a fucking shootout. I was livid.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I remember going, because we had a game that night, me and Dev. Yep. I remember going in, it was 5-2, and I was like, all right, they're not going to blow this, right? Like, they're the Flyers, but it's also the Panthers. And then afterwards, I heard that they wanted a shootout. Literally started dying laughing. I was like, thank God I did not watch that game because I would have been pissed.
So, early on upset. In the game, I think it was, hang on, what was it? It was, I think we were down 1-0. It was right after Vetrano scored. I tweeted this: Flyers are going to fucking lose this fucking bullshit game and I'm going to cry out a fucking disappointment. So, that kind of led.
That's a lot of curse words.
I was upset. I was very upset. And the goal scores for the game were Simmons twice, and then for Florida it was Vetrano twice, Hoffman, Dadonov, and Barkov. Real quick, Dad Reed got recalled today. He's playing in the NHL again.
Sexy. Yeah.
And then in the shootout, Barkov scored for Florida, Voracek and Wheel scored for us. Wheel with the game winner. Interesting note with the goalies: Elliott was pulled after the fourth goal, had 19 saves on 23 shots, and Picard got the win with 2 saves on 3 shots. Christian Follin was in for Alexander. I'm doing this too much. Andrew McDonald. It's my own fucking name too. You'd think I'd got it. Andrew McDonald. But yeah, that was a frustrating game. Frustrating game and a win.
Yeah. So, do you know who's doing pretty good so far?
Christian Follin.
Captain Claude
Giroux, yes sir.
Yeah, what 10? Yeah, 10 points.
Including
he's got 8 points.
Including tonight, he's got 10 points.
Well,
he got 2 points tonight. So
yeah, I have stats for the games that we're actually covering.
He got 2. He got 2 more points, Drew. So now he's at 10.
So the statistical leaders, real quick, through 6 games, were Claude Giroux and Voracek tied at 8. Simmons 6 points. Gudas had 5 points. Lawton, Hag, and Gossespierre were tied for 5th with 4 points. And then goals. Simmons has 5 goals, which is nice. And Voracek has 6 assists. Drew has 5 assists. Gudas, all 5 points were assists. I know you guys really don't care about plus minus, but I wanted to bring up this. The leader in plus minus for the Flyers is Christian Fulton at plus 4, so it doesn't tell you anything. And then the minus leaders are...
That should tell you all you need to know about plus minus.
The minus leaders are Provorov, Ghost, and Patrick, all tied with minus 5.
Hey, quick question. Did Fulton play in the Sharks game?
There you go.
That's why he's the leader.
Yeah. Again, 6 games in, these stats really don't tell much other than the fact that Simmons is back to his old self.
Yeah, Simmons has been really, really good. It's nice to see. It's also going to be – it's going to boost his value. I wanted to see him re-signed. I guess we'll see what happens with that. But
what this also means is that when JVR comes back, you now have two of those same type of, like, net presence dudes. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. Because we were all worried, you know, would Wayne Simmons bounce back? Well, the answer is yes.
One interesting thing, and I say best overall forward here, is Scott Lawton. He's played both ends of the ice very well. Great on the penalty kill. Hustle on every night out there.
He's standing out. Like, through the eye test. I don't know any of his stats, but, like, in the first few games that I saw,
Scott Lawton's got three
goals and an assist.
Scott Lawton is a prime example of why I like stacking the bottom six with players that have high upside that maybe haven't shown it yet, because you're saying it with Scott Lawton. Like, he might not be the first round pick that we thought he was going to be a couple years ago, but he is still a very, very useful, good bottom six forward.
Yeah. And while he's not the best skilled forward on the team, he's definitely played the best overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Again,
that's talking offensively,
so
defensively.
When you have
not necessarily putting up stats, but driving play,
Whoa, Drew.
Driving play.
But I don't do it with bullshit.
You're like a couple words away from saying Corsi.
Never gonna happen. Because eye test. I do that with the eyes. I don't need made up numbers to tell me what he's doing.
They're not made up numbers, they're actual numbers.
Drew has his pinky out right now.
Hey.
Yeah, so a guy like Scott Lawton is a much better bottom six forward than a guy like Dale Weiss. So
Jouri Lehterä,
Chris Vandeville,
Jouri Flair.
Chris Vandeville.
When you have injuries like the Flyers have, that he can jump up in the top six for a few games. Like, it's not.
I would like to say real quick, because you brought up Christopher Vandeville, when they talked about Corbin Knight playing today, because Corbin Knight is playing today, there was an article. And it was praising Corbin Knight, and it said, "Is Corbin Knight the next Chris Vandeveldt?"
Please no.
And I,
who wrote it?
I don't fucking know.
Who wrote
John
it?
Boric. Well, that's John Boric. Definitely.
No,
John
it was not. Bon- it was
oh,
not.
Wait, wait, wait. Okay, I'm gonna. I'm
it may have been.
It
I may have seen it on.
What's your guess? What's your
I think
guess?
It's Sam Cardici.
That's another one.
I'm gonna go. John Boric's a good one. How do you say Sam Cardici's
Cardici?
Name? Cardici. I was gonna go with him. It would have been Tim Panaccio if he was the right.
That was like insane to see that. But real quick, while you're looking that up,
oop, it's NBC Sports.
Yeah, there we go.
So we know it's probably John Boric.
Oh my god! But
what an idiot!
Jesus Christ! I hate him so much.
But yeah, but like, think about it. Like, a couple of years with Chris Vandeveldt. Remember, like, somebody got hurt, and they tried Vandeveldt, and they put him with Voracek and Giroux.
It lasted all of two shifts.
Yeah, and how out of place that looked. Now, Scott Lawton, you know, somebody gets injured, you put him up, you know, he's forced to play a bigger role. It doesn't look that out of place, and it doesn't feel that out of place. Obviously, you're missing your production from your better forwards, but it's not like Scott Lawton's out there creating tire fires.
Well, right. All right. So the thing is like, Scott Lawton is a skilled guy. He's just not good enough to be a top six player in the NHL. But if he's playing with two other elite players, then he can keep up. He can't, like, you know, he doesn't really add anything to a line, but he doesn't take anything away from it in the top six realm. In the bottom six, you can flip the script because he's good enough to outplay other teams' bottom
sixes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. But a guy like Vandeveldt isn't a skilled guy. He's a meat and potatoes kind of guy, and he's not helping Drew and Voracek at all. He's just
he's just a body. He's taking away from what they could be doing.
Yeah, he's not an option to pass,
like, Lawton,
to, really. Like, you can't give
you
him
can
the
argue
puck,
might
so.
Not add anything, but like you said, he's not going to take away from the top six. Whereas Vandeveldt would definitely be taking away from the top six.
Yes. Now, because maybe he can win a board battle for you, but like, if it's a 3-on-2, you're not going to pass it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Vandeveldt is currently playing in Finland.
Nice.
Just no, so you know.
He's not even in the Swedish elite league.
I always wondered, he's in the Finnish league. Do you think that we could get him on our team? Because he was an NHL player. I always think of...
Do you mean like our... Like rec team or the Flyers.
I know we could definitely get him on.
I don't think we'd be able to pay him.
He doesn't need to get paid. He's still making money playing.
He's still a professional.
Okay. He's got money.
And he's living in Finland.
I always wondered like how cool. much. Like I'm sure it's a lot, but like just how.
Are you saying like how good he would be like rec to, like, what league? We play?
And he would dominate.
He would look like.
Kind of I know. Which in comparison, nuts.
Like if you grab Jory Laterra, think of okay, who's
or Zach Rinaldo. I always say that.
He would be a god.
What's his name?
The Gold Leagues.
Jody Shelley.
Like the skills gap between like NHL player and not
the
NHL
skill
player.
Gap
like, if you take the worst,
and it's
insane.
Yeah. We've all been there before. Where like a guy who was like
you think of like the best
played on an ECHL team. You see him play at, like your local rink or something, and it's like, oh my god, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's in the third worst. Like, he couldn't even sniff the AHL. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, these dudes that play rec league, we know one of them that got an ECHL tryout is really good.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You have to think how much better these guys that are terrible in the NHL would be than these guys that we think are really amazing in rec league.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah, it's like, insane.
Yeah, that's why like, I love to go down to the pregame skate and you're just like seeing these guys when they're just casually shooting the puck and it's like, oh my god.
They're ripping it like 85
yeah,
miles
and they're not
even
trying.
It's not even trying. Quick little bit of stats before we move on. Flyers are currently 9th in goals for with 21 and they're second worst in goals against with 25 goals against. They have a 20.8 percentage on the power play and a 72% penalty kill. So not the best special teams numbers through 6 games, but again, it's 6 games. Time will tell around 15 games how the season will turn out with those numbers.
So what do we think of – because I actually looked into that the other day with the Flyers giving up 25 goals, and then I noticed the Devils have only given up 4 goals.
Uh-huh.
Are they good for now still? I mean, it's only 6 games. Again, everything's –
They're not – they're like, okay. They're not – what do you mean by good?
Well, I meant like we were saying at the beginning of the year that they might not even make the playoffs again.
Yeah, I think that's true. Okay. Like, I'm not changing any of my expectations about the season until, like, November.
That's fair. Oh, well, we are only 6 games in, so it's all
unless
it's
like
all relative.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, I don't think Ottawa
Carolina did. Leads the Metro.
Yeah,
hey, like, man.
It's gonna change. And this
they're finishing third in the Metro, right above Washington.
Yeah,
I would just.
Yeah, I mean, if I felt like it, I would go show you what the stats look
I would
like.
Just,
6 games into
I would
last
just
season,
like to let you know that my Stanley Cup pick is dead last in the Central. St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, you always say this. And
well, that was a bad pick.
Who'd you pick?
I was watching that game the other day.
I forget who I picked.
St. Louis and who was it? It scored with like a minute and a half left in the third. It was exactly like a Flyers loss.
Really playing Montreal?
Montreal, yeah, that was terrible.
Montreal's looking pretty good.
Yeah,
and who said that they would be a dark horse playoff team?
Nobody.
I think it was this guy.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, but again, like it's 6 games.
Six games.
I mean, some teams haven't even played 6. Some teams have played like 4.
The Devils played 4.
Yeah, so it's so early, like. If think of it about it this way, if this was January and some team was on a 4-game winning streak, you wouldn't even talk about
it. True.
So now we really haven't talked about our goaltending. There's a reason for that. Me and Dev have a bit of a disagreement. A bit of a disagreement on one man named Brian Elliott. So we're going to have a debate. I say Brian Elliott is an average goaltender. Devin says he's horseshit. So, Devin, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right, well, the first question I'm going to ask, it's rhetorical. I mean, you can answer if you want. How many other teams would have Brian Elliott be their starting goaltender?
Right now?
Yes, today.
Kush, go ahead.
I was going to say like four, maybe, including the Flyers.
Maybe. Yeah, including the Flyers. All right. So, do you know what goals saved above average is, Drew?
Is this, that's not the difficult shots, are they?
No, this is not. This technically isn't really a fancy stat.
I don't know what it is exactly. No.
Basically, it's the you take the average save percentage. I'll read the description on HockeyReference.com. Goals saved above average. The goals this goalie prevented, giving the save percentage and shots face versus the league average save percentage on the same number of shots.
Can I jump in for just 1 second?
Sure.
Shout out to Hockey Reference because that's where I got all my stats too. HockeyReference.com. Great website. Okay. Great website. Yeah. Use it.
All right. They're not paying us any money to say that. So.
But it's still great. It's a great site. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Brian Elliott's goals saved above average so far this season is -4.96, which means he's let in 5 more goals than the average goalie would have allowed given the number of shots faced. Brian Elliott's had 2 good games statistically this year. Both of them, there was like 20 shots he faced. So anytime he's faced more than 20 shots, he's been garbage. He's just... I feel like I don't really have to argue this. He's just a really bad goalie right now. But he's never been a good goalie for the Flyers. For his career with the Flyers, which has been only 48 games played, which is seems weird. But yeah, he's had a .905 save percentage and had 2.8 goals against average. 1 shutout. 1. So that's really bad. I think average – what's the average save percentage? Does anyone know that off the top of their head?
In the NHL right now?
Yes. Yeah.
Among the starting goaltenders for every team, it's a .916.
Okay, yeah. So he hasn't even gotten close to that with the Flyers.
Oh, that's career. But anyways.
Lindblom scored.
Yes, he did.
He had a .910 with Calgary, which was the team he was on before the Flyers, which is still not good. Like, that's not terrible, but that's not good. It's below average. He hasn't had a good save percentage since his last year with St. Louis, which was 2015-16. 4 seasons ago. So he hasn't been a good goalie for 4 years. 4 years he's been not just below average, but way below average. All right. So the argument everyone wants to make is like, well, the Flyers haven't had a really good defense in front of them. Flyers defense hasn't been that good. You know what Steve Mason's save percentage was? It was a .918 while he was with the Flyers for like over 200 games. So he did it over a longer period of stretch, and he was above average. And you could argue he had a much worse defense in front of him than Brian Elliott has. Brian Elliott has Provorov and Ghost, and Steve Mason had an aged Kimmo Tiiminen and Andrew McDonald. Aged Kimmo Tiiminen. I love Kimmo. Best. I wear number 44, but he was old. All right? So let's talk about the home opener. The Flyers got rocked, absolutely destroyed. Defense was nowhere to be found. But before they got rocked, they were actually playing a pretty good game. Before the first goal, they were in the zone for like a minute, and they had like 3 scoring chances. And then I think it was Ghost had a shot blocked, and it was a 2-on-1 going the other way. And the Shark forward, I forget who it was, didn't pass it. He didn't deke. He shot it through the legs from the top of the circle. That's a terrible goal. It's awful. And then the next goal, I don't remember, but I remember it wasn't great, Drew. Then after that, I'll give Elliott a pass. He should have been pulled out of respect. I don't really like how Hacksaw let him in there for 8 goals against. That was kind of messed up. But still.
I agree with you on that point, but I think it's just because they had a back-to-back game.
Yeah. But it's Picard. Who cares? Yeah. It's not like the Florida game. The first goal, it was a harmless shot from the boards. It went through him. Like, he's just frustrating. But what's really concerning is when I watch him, and even when he has good games, and I said this last year too, even when he has good games, like, oh, Brian Elliott made a great save. 1, he can't move laterally. If he makes the first save and there's a rebound, it's going to go in. Two, almost every single goal that's scored against him, look where Brian Elliott's ass is. I'll tell you where it is. It's inside of the freaking net. The dude plays so deep in his crease, it's like he's afraid of the puck. He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to be out top, but he can't. You know why? Because he can't move. That's why he's playing so deep, because he's probably still hurt, which, I mean, if he's hurt, I can't blame him, but then he shouldn't be playing. I rest my case. Okay.
So, quick note. You're talking about Steve Mason. In Steve Mason's last year with the Flyers, the defense as close as possible to the defense that Brian Elliott has. He only posted a .908 save percentage with a .266 goals against average. And Michael Dwyerth only had an .891 that year. That's the closest defense to it, and it was still shit.
But I will say this. That was Mason's worst year with the Flyers. And it's still better than the 2 years the year that Elliott gave us. So that helps my point.
Hang on. I lost my Brian Elliott page.
Oh, man. I got you.
No. I clicked too many things and I lost my Brian Elliott.
Brian Elliott had a .906 last year.
He had a .909, actually.
Oh, okay. So he's had a .906 total, I guess, for his entire career?
No, not his career. In Philadelphia,
Career with the Flyers. Yeah, that's what I meant. Career with the Flyers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So 909. All right. How many games did Mason play that year?
Mason played 58.
Okay. So Mason played more games. Oh, man, Neuwirth must have got hurt that year.
Neuwirth played 28 games. Stolarz played 7.
Yeah, Neuwirth got hurt. And then, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, all right. But Mason played 5 years with the Flyers, and that was his last year. So I mean, do you think his
see? But I'm saying specifically with the most similar defense to what the Flyers currently have, he posted similar numbers. That's my point. Where how big a difference?
How much difference was? I mean, I don't understand. So you're just cherry picking Mason's last year with the Flyers and saying that year the defense was so similar.
To what?
What was the defense in 15-16, as opposed to 16-17?
I mean.
16-17 had Provorov play 82 games, so that's his first.
A rookie, probably, first full, right?
Yeah, but he had 30 points. Like, he didn't play poorly.
No, he was great.
Gostisbehere played 76. McDonald played 73. Gudas played 67. Brandon Manning played 65. We had Brandon Manning last year. Delzato played 51. Stripe played 49. Nick Schultz played 28. You know, there's.
Oh, Nick Schultz.
He was so bad. He was a plus. No, that was 10 penalty minutes. Never mind.
Okay, all right. But what was the defense the year before?
You got to give me 1 second. I don't have that one directly up.
Because I feel like it wasn't that much difference. Like, no problem. 16,
say this.
So 15. It's worse.
Plus, if you go cherry-picking goalies' years, goalies can have bad years. I mean, look at the year that Carey Price had last year.
Okay, here's the defense the year before. Ghost. Mark Streit, Ratko Gudas, Delzato, Medvedev,
Nick
Schultz, and
ooh,
McDonald. Only
failed
McDonald
experiment.
Only played 28 games, so he must have been hurt.
I think that's the year we acquired him.
It's possible. Rookie year for
Ghost?
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon Manning, Luke Shen.
No. McDonald was hurt. That's why Ghost got in.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember this. I think that might have been pubic displacement year for Strait.
It's Strait taking one for the team. All right.
Okay. Let me just read you some
when he broke
numbers
his dick,
really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. 9-17.
Uh huh. 9-28. 9-18. 9-08. Those are the save percentages for Steve Mason. Those years. Over years that, if you remember, what were we doing as Flyers fans?
Crying? Oh, no. Okay.
Crying,
so first off,
and waiting for the big five defensive prospects every year because our defense is so bad, because that's why we can't win, because we don't have
defense.
First
off, also, the majority of the fan base erroneously blames Steve Mason for it, and that was wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's why I have this complex when it comes to Steve Mason, because Steve Mason was hands down the best goalie we've had in our lifetime as Flyers fans. I mean, like, as functioning human beings. I mean, yeah, we were alive when other great goalies were playing, but
okay.
Like Boucher's rookie year, I was in kindergarten, so it doesn't count.
No.
And it was 1 year.
Kind of counts.
I'm just saying, like,
still counts, but okay. So
statistically, find me a better goalie than Steve Mason for the Flyers, and I'll win.
So here's my my argument with the Brian Elliott debate. I don't think he's a good goalie. I think he's an average goalie, and I think that average goalies, when faced with poor defensive teams, tend to have bad stats in general. But he also has played better than his stats show, as that eye test. Oh yes.
Okay.
I only interrupted to say hockey reference. Okay. All right. Okay. 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 But when paired with a good defensive team, when he was with St. Louis, he boasted a .940 save percentage, a .922, a .917, a .930, with a .156, with a .196, with a .226, and a .207 goals against.
But that was so long.
But that's
ago.
With a good defensive team.
Right, but that's when he was in his prime. He's not in his prime anymore. I'm not arguing that Brian Elliott was never a good goalie. He was a good goalie. He hasn't been for the Flyers.
This guy is an average goalie. He's an average goalie. I did my homework. Okay. I did my homework. And I put out all 31 starters. The only questions I had were with the Vancouver. I put Jacob Markstrom because I'm pretty sure he was their starter to plan going into it. But yeah, of those, Brian Elliott is 14th in goals against career. These are career numbers with a .247. Okay. So yeah, dead average. That's all you need to know, honestly. He's got a career .247.
Okay. Last year. Jimmy Howard.
Yes, sir.
Good goalie, average
goalie? Average
goalie.
He's got a .25. He's 16.
Okay.
Career.
He's played behind Detroit's defense.
Yes.
Do you know anyone on Detroit's defense?
No.
Okay.
Does Cronwell still play?
Yeah, I think so. He's like 49.
Yeah, him. That guy. Yeah. I know that guy.
He used to be good. Yeah. I can't even tell you. I literally just Googled worst NHL defense. And I picked the worst one, which was Detroit, according to this random website, oddshark.com.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think this is for this year, but I figured their defense didn't change that much. Jimmy Howard last year had a .910 save percentage.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's better than Brian Elliott, right? Or worse?
I'd say they're on par, to be honest with you.
All right, so... Oh, shit. This doesn't work. This is a hell of my argument.
Go ahead. I like this.
I'm looking at the same thing right. Dev's looking at right now.
All right, let's go with Chicago.
No. Corey Crawford. Well,
he's good.
When he wasn't.
All right, did he play last year?
He played a good
Not
game.
Really.
I should have looked this up. I need an average goalie behind a bad defense.
No. I want to go back to this Detroit. Jimmy Howard thing because I feel like
right, so
it helps me. Hang
one.
On.
Okay, but 2 years ago,
uh-huh.
At 16-17, he had a .927.
Okay. In 26 games.
What does that
means he was hurt. He had a 10-11 record.
Okay, well, win losses, it's kind of hard
to
judge a goalie on their
team's
back.
It's reflective of the team, yeah. I was just...
Yeah, I mean, you could argue so is save percentage, but like, right. I feel like save percentage is better to look at a goalie. Howard's also an agent, too. I think Howard's probably a bad goalie.
Howard's
a bad goalie. All right, he's not average.
Let me continue with my argument here, okay? In the 10 years from 2008-2009 season to last year's season, the 2017-2018 season, the league average save percentage was a .912. The league average goals against was a .260. Brian Elliott's in that time was – well, it's basically his career numbers, a .912 and a .247.
So that's league average. That's including backup goalies and bad goalies, though. Brian Elliott's supposed to be a starter.
But we're talking about league average here. For his entire career.
Yeah, okay. But he wasn't a starter.
I'm talking about his.
I'm talking about Brian Elliott on the Philadelphia Flyers.
I'm talking about Brian Elliott,
has been bad. Oh, then we're having two different arguments, because I agree with you that Brian Elliott, the goalie, has been a pretty average goalie for his career. Yes.
I was saying he's an average
goalie. And he had a really good run with St. Louis. Yeah. But for the Flyers, who've picked him up in his last few years as a player, he's been terrible.
He
hasn't been good. I'm tired of people telling me that, like, oh, Brian Elliott's been good. He's been a great stopgap. He's a great guy.
He's average.
No, he's not average. He's bad. He's average. He's bad. His save percentage is well below average.
No.
Yes. You told me it was 915.
It's a 912.
It's a 912.
And he's
at a 906 for the 2 years he's been with the Flyers.
It's fine. It's not like he's the 27th ranked starting goalie in
there's a big difference between 912 and 906.
Okay, so he's the 27th out of 31 in save percentage in the NHL. But we don't talk about
that. That's really bad.
It's pretty
bad. There's only four starting goalies who are worse than him.
Jacob Markstrom, he's dead last. He's got a 907.
And that's not even a starting goalie.
Yeah, well,
is he?
He played starting goalie.
Who's he even play for?
Vancouver. Tomas Greiss.
Okay, case in point.
Has the same thing. Frederik Andersen has 0.910. He's a starting goalie. He's supposed to be a good one too. Remember that? Also, Dev, who's the better goalie, Bobrovsky or Brian Elliott?
Are you using this year's stats?
Oh, you're Dev.
It's been 6 days.
Bobrovsky.
I'm using last year's stats, including this year's stats.
Bobrovsky, okay.
Oh my god. Oh my God.
Has a 4.3 goals against average and an .860 save percentage. What does Brian Elliott have? An .874 save percentage. And I can't find the goals against average.
You know what? We should just re-sign Brian Elliott for $10 million.
Exactly. That's my case in point has been proven. And yeah, he's better than Sergei Bobrovsky. So,
just so everyone understands what Drew is saying. Last year, Sergei Bobrovsky had a .921 save percentage.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this year he's a better goalie.
Through six games.
Listen, I don't make up these stats, okay? I just abide by the rules. I just like to say that. Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. I just.
All right. So, okay. Question for you: what is the threshold for a bad goalie? What number does Brian Elliott have to put up for you to say he's bad?
Do you know what the league average was last year?
Are you going to tell me?
No, I don't know. I was actually asking if you knew.
I thought you told me it.
Something like nine.
It was 915, and then you told me it was 912.
No, the career starting goalies are 916. His is 912.
NHL league.
Because that's the one I don't have. Actually, I do have it. Oh, I did write
it. I got it.
It was a 912 last year and a
278. 912,
and a 278 goals against last year. I did all these averages so I can get the average over the last 10 years.
I just want to make it clear. I'm not basing my opinion on Brian Elliott on this year. I was going into this year thinking he was a bad goalie. Like, he's a bad goalie. And he's just proving that to me through six games.
He is an average goalie.
He's bad goalie.
All right. Me and you can't.
What save percentage number does Brian Elliott need to be at before he's bad?
Well, he was, what, 3 points under last year? He had a .266 goals against, which was better than the league average by quite a bit. I don't know. It's not just his save percentage. It's not just the goals against. It's a combination of the two, where he's having a better goals against than the league average, but he's having a worse save percentage. So I feel like that means he's not facing as many shots, so the goals that he lets in affect his save percentage, but he's not giving up as many goals in comparison to everybody else. So do you understand where I'm coming with that?
I mean, that could be attributed to the defense, though, giving up less shots. You know what I mean? So, like, if he's only – what's his goals against average for last year?
Last year he had a .909. Or, sorry, his goals against were the .266.
.266. Okay, so
.266.
So two to three goals a game. That's actually pretty good. But if you look at his save percentage, which is actually pretty bad, you have to think, well, how many shots was he actually facing?
He faced 1,228 shots.
And what was the league average?
That I don't know.
I bet you it's well below the league average on shots faced.
That I don't know. He played in 43 games last year, so it's definitely going to be below the league. Below the league average. I guess it gets to be shots.
I guess you'd have to. Have that? Yeah.
Is that a stat we can get?
I'd have to
get.
What's the stat?
Shots against per game.
Shots faced per game.
Shots faced. Well, you could just divide the number of shots by the number of games he played. Simple math, guys.
Dev, you're a genius. Let me get this calculator out. It's a 1228. Yeah, but do we have a 28 and a half shots per game? Do we have that league average, though? Who had the best save percentage this year? Does anybody know?
Google knows.
Okay, could you Google it, and I'll let you know.
I'm getting it.
While we're doing that, Kush, since me and Dev obviously cannot agree, what's your take on this whole Brian Daly thing?
That he's not that good.
But would you say he's average?
Not when he's been on the Flyers, no. I mean, if you want to argue his career, sure. He's been a fine goalie for his career. But if we're talking about just with the Flyers in the past 2 years, which, thinking back, we, you know, could maybe still have Steve Mason. I'm thinking that Steve Mason would have been better than Brian Elliott is right now.
I will leave you with this. Over the last three seasons, including the six games so far this season, which I don't know how many he's played, but his last season with the Flyers and his last season with the Calgary Flames, and this year, Brian Elliott has lit in 14.39 more goals than the average goalie would have.
Uh-huh.
Which we'd all agree.
So he's 14 goalies worse. 14 goals worse than the average goalie.
Uh-huh.
So that's by statistics, that's not average. That's actually pretty bad. Granted, the defense is atrocious this year. And if you want to make an example out of, I'm going to cherry pick a game here this season.
The Florida game. Oh.
Yeah, I was going to.
I like the Florida game better.
You can take the Florida game because you could say that was like
they gave up two bad breakaways in that Florida game. The last two goals that Florida scored, and like the one, the first one, the last goal that Elliott let in,
like
fucking Gossespierre just did not play defense at all. Like he did not play properly at all. It was
in the game against the Sharks. The Flyers didn't play defense, but Brian Elliott, for as many goals as he let in, that I guess you could say wasn't his fault. He saved.
Oh my god!
He saved them.
Don't watch the Flyers.
What? Oh god! Oh, I'm not. I'm looking at stats right
Thank
now.
Thank god. But. Okay. You know what? No, I have to interrupt this. So, Christian Follin's got the puck right in our own zone. He falls down. Gives the puck over to Josh Anderson, whoever this guy is. It's a 2-on-1. The guy that's the 2-on-1 with Josh Anderson falls down. Josh Anderson comes up to the hash mark. Somebody dives at him, and he backhands a top shelf on Calvin Picard. Like, what the fuck is happening in Philadelphia?
Combination of bad goaltending and
bad defense. Actually, it wasn't top shelf. It was through the 5-hole. All right.
I would say the defense might be. I mean, I haven't watched the whole game.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
this is my point.
Well, Picard is a bad goalie.
We can agree on something, Dev. Picard.
Right. I also want to say something. You said Frederick Anderson is a good goalie.
Craig Anderson?
He is a good goalie. Last year, his save percentage behind a notable below average.
I never said
defense.
Craig Anderson was a bad goalie.
Frederick
Anderson. I don't like Frederick Anderson.
You don't like Frederick Anderson. No. He had a .918 save percentage last year.
Yeah, but he's trash.
but
he's got a career .917.
Which is very good.
Wait, who did I say was bad? Oh, his goals against.
Some good goalie you said was bad.
His goals against.
Bad goalie you said was good.
I may have been reading Craig Anderson's, and it's fine.
Ooh, that was a bad goal by Calvin Bacall. Oh, my God. Right, yeah, that was, I mean, bad that defense. Bad. So, anyway, but my point was I'm cherry-picking the Sharks. Back to the point I was making. I was cherry-picking the Sharks team as an example. A lot of the goals against could be contributed to bad defensive coverage, but then there was a lot of saves that Brian Elliott made that he maybe shouldn't have. But if you're like then we jump back to the Panthers game where he gives up two breakaway goals.
No, he gave up one breakaway goal. The other one was
one breakaway goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's making these quote unquote big saves when it doesn't even matter, and then when it does matter, he's not coming. Like, he's an NHL goalie. Like, no, you almost expect NHL goalies, good NHL goalies, to bail teams out of bad defensive play. Not every bad defensive play.
It's kind of their job.
If you're in a close game, you expect a good NHL goalie to be able to bail out a bad defensive play by your team, especially in a close game.
A goalie's supposed to be even an average tough saves. Like, if he only makes the easy saves, then that's nothing special. Anyone can make the easy saves. But, yeah, he can't stop all the tough saves. I get that their goalies are going to let in goals. But if you – a goalie has to make – all right. Do you know what the shooting percentage is on penalty shots?
Probably about 20%.
It's like – yeah, 20%. That means – I mean, we're just spitballing numbers here, but I know it's, you know, at over 70% of the time the goalie is making the save. So the goalie has the advantage there. It's easier for the goalie to make the save than it is for the player to score a goal.
Yes.
So he never bails out the defense.
Jesus fucking Christ, Picard's terrible.
Did they get lit? They score again?
Yeah, they scored again. Yeah. So. I would like to point out. I still stand by my point. Devin still stands by his point. Kush, you're wrong. Shut up. tell us.
Well, I was gonna say the defense has not been good, but Brian Elliott's also not been good. And when the defense was good last year, Brian Elliott. Well, at least, you know, we had a good top pair, and I would even argue a decent middle pair. Brian Elliott was not good. Right. He was worse than what I thought Steve Mason would have been.
So, why don't you guys tell us what you think of this whole Brian Elliott ordeal? Is he a good goalie? Is he a bad goalie? Is he an average goalie? Because we can't agree. Well, those two can. I can't. But I'm stubborn that way. But yeah, tell us at wizwithockey@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know. Or you can tweet at us at @wiz_wit_hockey. You can tweet at me at @TheBigDrew92. You can tell me how wrong I am. At @DevinS93. You can tell him how right he is, because I'm sure you will. And at @FlyWalker1975 for Mr. Kush over there. We've been Wiz Wit Hockey Podcast. We can't agree on anything. But, yeah, have a good night. Devin, want to say goodbye?
Peace.
Brian Elliott sucks.
Well,